The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris should not be taken too seriously, especially when they give advice. Do not take Marshall's analogies literally, especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey. The sports thoughts of Rahimi and Harris may change at any time. Remember, it's just sports.
Okay, thanks, bye. Bye.
Rahimi and Harris, 10 to 2 on 670.
The last time I had seen Rafael Devers coming out of the box, he was not exactly booking it down the line. He was lollygagging down the first gagging. And I immediately thought, and I know you saw this in the text chat, I was like, that dude could not play for my team without me getting very, very upset.
And now the 1-1 to Devers. Fly ball, deep center field, going back, Crow Armstrong to the fence. That ball is gone. Just to the right of dead center, Rafael Devers with his 26th of the year, swinging a fly ball to deep left, going back, Castro to the wall. That's a three-run homer, and the Giants have broken it wide open. Rafael Devers has just drilled an opposite field three-run homer, and he is having an enormous evening, and the Giants take a commanding 10-3 lead.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Oh, there was a lot going down in that Giants 12-3 win over the Cubs last night, which aired right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. This is the Rahimi and Harris Show. I'm Mark Rohde in for Layla, and we are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We do have a lot to get to. We've got Allen Robinson coming on the show a little bit later on this morning, but Marshall, there was a forgettable Cubs game that went down last night, and I have to admit, maybe this is not the best time for me to admit what I'm about to admit to all of you. You know, Rafael Devers was a problem last night for the Cubs. He did hit two home runs. He did have five RBIs. I've always loved Rafael Devers.
I'm
going to be very specific about what I like about him. He just looks like a badass at the plate. Every time he is at the plate, he looks like, last night, that he's just going to tear the cover off the ball. Since I was a child, and I think a lot of baseball fans are similar, I've always loved batting stances, and when guys look like they're going to crush the baseball based on size and stance. I always say this about Yordan Alvarez. Nobody scares me more in baseball than Yordan Alvarez. I feel like when Yordan Alvarez, that badass, when he gets up, maybe it's big lefty home run hitters that I like in Major League Baseball. So I get, you can hate me for it, but I do kind of like Rafael Devers.
Rafael Devers, more like Rafael Bonds. 4-for-4, runs scored, 5 driven in, 2 home runs, a double.
He was a problem. He was a problem, but, you know, that's
that's baseball?
Well, that's not baseball. That's Devers. That's Devers, because he will explode on the baseball, even if he's not running hard around the bases. I think Jim Deshays described it as, he looks a little bit, indifferent when he's running out there. But they have dealt with that in San Fran, and the correlation with him being there hasn't helped out particularly. But Marshall, what'd you think about last night's game, man? We were all following along, hanging out, watching the game last night.
Following along and falling asleep. That's what I was doing. Because we got to a point where I think it was around the sixth inning, and I was just like, this is tough. And you know, I like to go to bed early anyway.
I know.
So I'm on the couch, and I'm nodding off and waking back up every time something gets loud, aka another Giants opportunity to score runs. The Cubs, for lack of a better term, they look like a clown show out there. So many things did not look like good baseball. And Nico Hoerner had a great swing early in that game in the second inning, in which he hit the ball and he didn't run hard to make sure he beat it out for a double. He was like, I got this. And it was 3-1. And you thought, okay, I see the Cubs. Now, I didn't know that would be their one and only hit with runners in scoring position out of 5 opportunities.
Talk about a badass hit.
I didn't know that Nico Hoerner and his 2-for-3 day would account for 40% of the Cubs' total hits on the day at the time. But as the game unraveled, and Colin Ray, you know, we had him in our 5-on-it question yesterday, And I can't, like, I could be mad at Colin Ray for giving up 7 runs, 6 of them earned over 4 2/3. But at the same time, you have to sometimes be like, he's a fifth starter. He's a swing man who got elevated out of need from injury. Like, your offense just has to do more. Because you know what? The Giants were doing more. And then the Cubs were helping them out because the plays were not necessarily fundamentally sound.
That is correct. As a texter asks us from the 630, and we're open here, 312-644-6767. Phone lines are open for you. And if our producers today, Robbie the Tree Triano, is in for Ray Diaz, he's running the whole show. If he deems your calls worthy, we will put you right on the radio at any given time. We like to do that on the Rahimi and Harris show.
Anything for the Bobs.
That's right. The Bobs are here, and the Bobs, you are welcome. The door is open for you. We have Tyler Farengol here as well, affectionately known as Baby T. He is running everything back there. He is on the board today here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. But one of our texters says, which is hilarious, and we'll get to it, why did Tucker fire a ball off a dude's head? I love how we put that.
I mean, that's a very simplistic way of addressing a problem.
Yeah, it really is. And I love this. If we want to keep this going on the text line too, I would love it because I do love batting stances. Notable, this from the 815, notable badass stances, Frank Thomas, yes, and Gary Sheffield.
That wag.
Oh my God. That wag. You have a Sheffield?
Yeah. The Sheffield wag. The Frank
big
Thomas
bat hanging over.
The Frank Thomas thing was like, this is a dude who, by all measurements, is a quote-unquote contact hitter. It just so happens when he makes contact, the ball seems to go a lot further than the average contact hitter. And then with Sheffield, that wag just let you know, there's going to be trouble, trouble, trouble.
And trouble, trouble.
Remember?
Yes, when he makes contact, it's a problem. So yeah, there's guys, and 7-7-3, Judge is the scariest batter. He's a monster at the plate because he's a physical monster.
Well, is that the same with Frank
size.
Thomas, too? Because did Frank Thomas really have a scary stance? Because he was hunched over, but he's massive. So maybe that's what leads us to believe. Because Frank Thomas would not necessarily have hit my brain as a badass, he's going to crush your soul stance.
Don't believe what the people tell you. Size does matter.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It does matter.
And yes. I think Frank Thomas and Aaron Judge are two brilliant examples of just raw, blunt power and trauma awaiting you.
Right, they
as
could
a
just
pitcher.
They could just stand there stiff, like just standing up, like upright, and like they would look scary at the plate.
They are scary, especially if you've seen the results. But yeah, for a guy like what you talked about, Rafael Devers, who I stand by what I said yesterday. Don't want a guy lollygagging to first base on my team.
But I get that. I do get that. And I would probably get tired of him if he was on the Cubs as well. But in the meantime, I have a healthy fear, and he is badass.
And that's fine. The Red Sox seem to be doing okay without him.
Yeah.
So
And San Francisco is under 500 with him as well.
Exactly.
What a wild year
they've had. They've won some games in a row now.
Yes. Yes, they have.
They have bested the Cubs.
Who thought that San Francisco would get well against the Cubs? Unfortunately, that's sort of what is going on for San Francisco right now.
It's like they weren't feeling well, and they're like, we'll make a house call.
Yeah.
Have the Cubs come over.
Yeah, come on through here.
Unfortunately,
yeah,
that's how it's played out through two games, but there's a third game to play.
Maybe Dustin's right. Maybe they shouldn't have gone to the... No, I'm kidding.
That's crazy talk.
I started yesterday talking to Ian Happ about, you know, having the day off in San Francisco. I didn't really, because we were kind of rushed with him yesterday. But one of the things I want to get into with him was, what did you guys do on your day off in San Francisco? Because it's a pretty sick city to, you know, it's a great bike riding city. There's also, you know, obviously you've got the prison.
Alcatraz.
I mean, there's all sorts of cool stuff.
They probably
stuff.
Feel like they're stuck at The Rock right now. The way they've been playing.
Welcome to The Rock. You are here. 312-644-6767 if you want to jump in here with your text messages or your phone calls. We welcome them. So there were several moments last night, and this is sort of what we want to get into, where, yeah, the Cubs got thumped. It was a skull thumping. They lose to the Giants 12-3, and Rafael Devers hit a couple home runs. Matt Chapman goes deep. Colin Ray struggled 4 2/3. So if you didn't watch the game, that's what you might get out of it. And I know a lot of you guys probably did miss the game last night because it was a late nighter. So let's start, I guess, since the texter brought up the Kyle Tucker thing last night.
That's where we have to start. Because when that play happened, I realized, oh, this probably isn't going to go the way that people want it to go.
No, it Kicks did not go.
Fires the 0-1 to Chapman. He's blooped down the right field line, racing in. Tucker, it drops in for a base hit. Devers scores. Smith moves to third. And now the ball is loose in the infield. Smith trying to score, and he does.
Well, Tucker goes, it's just a bloop single. Nothing the defense can do. Tuck comes in, gets this ball, and then throws it in towards first base, and it hits Chapman in the helmet. And Kareem's all the way behind home plate. Nothing you're going to do. It's just an odd play. Hits him right on the top of the helmet, and the ball goes all the way behind home plate. Everybody moves up, but another run scores. It'll be an error on top.
Zach Zaidman and Ron Coomer right here on the score. So let me just set it up a little bit more here. Kyle Tucker, it's in the San Francisco fifth inning. It's 4-3. That's important to point out because fifth inning, this game ended up being 12-3. It was a close game in the fifth inning. 4-3 San Francisco. Runners on first and third and two outs at the point at which Chapman hits the blooper into right field. Okay, bleep happens, run scores, and then Tucker fields the ball, fires it in. Chapman is at first, and it clunks him in the helmet. Again, I don't know. Like, I'm not here to rip Kyle Tucker for that because I don't think that that's necessarily on him. He threw in the right direction, right, that he was supposed to.
Just bad luck.
It was bad luck on that play. But as you and I were driving in today, I said to you, I was like, I am so glad that he has been hitting well lately, because if this had happened during that horrendous slump that he was having, that would have been the moment where maybe Craig Counsell would have just said, why don't you just stay in the dugout here today? Because that's rough, and it's like it would have epitomized everything that was going on with Kyle Tucker.
I'm not convinced that Craig Counsell, based on what he's done every day, all season long, and really for the last couple of seasons, would have actually done that and benched him. I am sure of this, though. If he was still in that slump, as you mentioned, and that play happens at Wrigley Field.
Oh, my God. That's next level.
The booze will be immediate, and the booze will be unrelenting.
Oh, God. Yeah. Timing is everything.
So it's good that he's, first of all, away when this happens. And second of all, that he is hitting. That's more important. He's hitting better now. He looks like Kyle Tucker right now. We got a lot of texts about these batting stances.
Go
that
for
are cracking
it.
Hit me up.
Hit me.
219. You talk about intimidating batting stance. Jim Thome.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Andre Dawson.
Andre Dawson with that. He had a little wag, too.
He had a little wag, too.
Left foot out in front
Way
of the
out
right
in front.
Foot, right?
And just perpendicular action between the back leg and the back calf and the front calf.
Let me tell you something about Andre Dawson. The reason that me, a Cubs fan growing up, was so happy that Andre Dawson came to the Cubs is because he used to wear out Wrigley Field. When he was with the Montreal Expos, he was just devastating. He made that park look small. So when he came, I was like, congratulations. Thank you. Thank you for being here. But that's good, man. And it didn't hurt with Andre Dawson that he had like the most serious sort of, not a scowl, but just a very serious all business look on his face at all times.
Can I address one more text before we keep it moving?
Hit them all, man.
574, this is unrelated to the batting stance. This is more direct towards me.
We're here for you. 312-644-6767.
Marsh, told you that the Giants were taking at least two. You spent all day convincing us that the Cubs would overtake the Brewers because of playing teams like a bad Giants team. Where are you now in that stance? I am unmoved. I'm sorry, did the Cubs lose any ground to the Brewers last night?
Brewers lost last night, ladies and gentlemen, to the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Yeah, the Brewers are not this behemoth, unstoppable team like everybody keeps telling me they are. I refuse to believe it. I think they will, you know, have a good road trip, whether that's 6-3 or 7-2, I don't know, but I think that's where they're still headed on this road trip, and that's fine. That's good enough.
They got to sweep Colorado, which is obviously doable. What is the Rockies' record these days? They're that bad, aren't they?
They're creeping up on the win number 42.
Wow,
that's the magical
38-95.
Yeah. Nice job, baby T.
They're creeping up on 42 wins, which of course means the White Sox would stay with the most losses all time in a season at 121.
Wow. By the way, a couple more there is a pattern with some the left-handers. You know, I said Yordan Alvarez. and obviously Rafael Devers. Then we got people checking in with Reggie Jackson as a badass stance. Rod Carew did have a cool stance, but he's not a home run hitter. You know, he was like the quintessential singles hitter. You know, he was Tony Gwynn, Wade Boggs, Mark Grace-esque in terms of that. Albert Bell, yeah.
Albert or Joey, who are you more scared of?
I'll go Albert Bell.
Dan would say Jeff Bagwell.
I always thought he looked very uncomfortable because he was in that like a deep squat,
super low stance.
His quads were just loaded; they were jacked.
Yeah, no doubt. Oh yeah, and he was a badass player as well. Did Bags make it into the Hall of Fame? Is he HOF?
I believe he's in that.
He's on that list.
That category. you know which category? 219. I love this. Bo freaking Jackson, but he spells Bo, B-O-W, because you know Bo likes to use the bow and arrow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So Bo Jackson, that's a good one, too.
Do you remember Jack Clark? Jack
of course,
Clark? Yeah. Played for the Cardinals. I remember him with the Cardinals. Yeah. I think he was played with San Francisco, too, I want to say.
Did he?
Somebody mentioned him, though, as a stance guy. I remember him being pretty upright, though. Like, upright, one foot, the left foot, again, in front, like sort of Dawson-esque with the left foot in front of the right foot. But I don't remember. Oh, there's a good one, too. Big Poppy. David Ortiz.
We've got a lot of different people saying Mo Vaughn in that same ilk.
And the Dick, that's Grobber right there. Dick Allen, a lot of people forget about Dick Allen. Dick Allen, he was a badass, period.
Also, one of my favorites, 773, and some others have also texted this, Vladimir Guerrero Sr.
Oh, the senior. Well, senior,
Go ahead, bounce the ball up to him, see what happens.
You could bounce the ball 50 feet in front of that man, and he'd put it in the gap in right field.
Lash at it.
Yeah.
He had a lashing swing.
Yeah, that's a great characterization. A lashing.
Because he would whip that thing.
Yes. It looked like he had about a 36-ounce bat, too. Yeah. He might have. I think he did have, if I remember
correctly. One of the heavier.
I think he had one of the heavier bats. Who has the heaviest bat on the Cubs right now? I think it's PCA, ironically enough. I think I remember them I think he's a smaller guy, so I thought maybe proportionate to him the bat looked long, but I think he uses a pretty big bat. Here's another old schooler for our oldies out there. The Cobra, Dave Parker. Dave Parker was a very scary man at the plate as well. Lefty as well, right? Wasn't Parker a lefty?
Yes, he was. Yeah. The Cobra. Jeff Bagwell in the Hall of Fame. I remember this now because one, a texter texted to me, and one of the things, Jeff Bagwell, Frank Thomas, and I share the same birthday.
Do you?
Yes.
When is your birthday?
Happy birthday.
May
27th, a long ways from now.
Okay.
But Bagwell,
write that down, Robbie.
Bagwell and Big Hurt were born on the same day,
okay.
Period.
Well, one's on a list and one's not, that's for sure.
Yes. One was like, yeah, test me. But he's in the Hall of Fame. Jeff Bagwell didn't make it to the Hall of Fame.
Grody, you say you're a Cubs fan. No Dave Kingman. Look, Dave Kingman, don't put me there. Don't put me there, Texter. The only reason to this day that my favorite number in life is 10. Sorry, Ron Santo. I recognize Dave Kingman as the number 10 for the Cubs, not Ron Santo. I hate to say that. Of course I love Dave Kingman. I was a kid. He hit massive home runs, but he did not have an intimidating stance, did Dave Kingman.
Yeah, a lot of this is subjective because you just remember the damage that was done out of said stance. And so, like, the next time you see a guy, depending on what you know him to be able to do, you're like, all right, yeah, I'm scared of that guy.
Yeah, but you know a badass stance when you see it. Like, you mentioned Sheffield. He might be the king of this with that bat flicking and just the biceps popping, and then you just felt like you... The swing was ferocious, too. If we're really getting down on Sheffield, he took a hard, hard swing, and his wrists were, like, the best wrists in baseball. Like, his ability to get around on velocity.
I like the idea that Ken Griffey Jr. is my guy. And yet, I don't know that his stance is one of the more intimidating stances.
Everything about Ken Griffey Jr. was just smooth. His stance was
smooth. That's what I'm saying. Not intimidating,
not
but just
intimidating.
Smooth.
Just smooth, level.
Silky.
He was silky in the outfield. He ran the bases with grace. Like, that's called being a natural. That's what Ken Griffey Jr. was
well
and
put.
Is. We got to take a break. When we come back, we'll get a little more serious here. Not that we won't take your text messages. They are flying in on badass batting stances. 312-644-6767. 7 if you want to text or call. We are open to you until 2 o'clock today on The Score. We have coming up the latest on Jamison Tyone and his injury and prognosis and what we might anticipate, and also the handling of other slumping Cubs, maybe relative to where they handled things with Kyle Tucker. We're going to get into all of that coming up next on the Raheem and Harris Show with me, Mark Grody, on The Score.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Warming up for that last inning on one of the pitches, I felt kind of like a little crampy sensation in my left groin. Hopefully we caught it kind of early. Kind of hard to like really tell this close to, you know, the game. Curious how I wake up tomorrow and going forward. But yeah, it was a long sit. And then I went out there to try to like kind of step on the warm-up pitches to really get going and get the body moving again. And I just felt like a tiny little cramp. So yeah, I mean, I've dealt with something similar. This feels way less. So I'm encouraged. But obviously, anytime you feel something, it's not ideal.
Cubs starting pitcher Jamison Tyone. You may know him from such places as the Cubs injury list. He is on the 10-day DL with a groin injury. As we welcome you back into the Raheemi and Harris Show, I am Mark Grody, filling in for Layla Raheemi, who we have been talking to quite a bit on the group thread. She's looking forward to getting back in here on Monday. This segment is being brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. We'll get into Tyone and some of the struggling Cubs in a second, but we have just gotten a ferocious amount of text messages on badass batting stances, which has turned into all sorts of other things. And one name that I will just throw out there before we move on, and we'll just keep this going too, is a lot of people have mentioned Willie Stargell. Lots of people have mentioned that, and that's good because he did that little hitch thing, that little exercise that we'd go through where we'd flick the bat back and forth and then bring it around. I don't really know how to describe it, but he definitely had a thing. And let me ask you this. I'll take it to the next level. Who has the best stance on the Cubs?
Ooh.
I'm going to go. I'll give you mine right away.
Go ahead.
It's Kyle Tucker, actually, because he just gets up there, just takes over the box. He's got a little dangle in the bat. He's very intense in there. The bat's high up, spread out, like, so I'm gonna go Kyle Tucker, I think.
Huh.
Yeah. I don't know that there are too many.
I don't know that anybody's intimidating on the Cubs in their batting stance.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Or just we could even lower it to like who's just your favorite batting stance.
Well, I think
on the
intimidation
Cubs
might be a guy that we don't see a lot of in Owen Casey.
Yeah.
I like his too. He's a big dude who gets in there like he owns the place.
Is he stand up? Is he pretty much
standing
up?
That's what I'm saying. So he's big, hulking.
Yeah, yeah, he shows you his size.
He's like, here I am. Throw it at your own peril.
Yeah, come get this. A little bit like Chris Bryant. No, what am I saying? Bryant had an uncomfortable crouch.
No.
Yeah, I did not like Chris Bryant. It just looked uncomfortable to me. It was obviously effective while he was with the Cubs, but the knee bend that he had, and I know why he did it, because he's so damn tall, wanted to get a little bit shorter in the box, but I never did like the Chris Bryant, even though he's one of my favorite players and human beings that played with the Cubs.
I think if we go Cubs all time, I might, at least as far as back as I go with Andre Dawson.
That's
all time.
That's very acceptable. Let's get into this, though, with the Cubs, Marshall, and Jamison Tyone. What are you thinking for Tyone? Are we going to see him back here pretty soon, you think? He's going to be starting soon, or what?
Here's the crazy thing about Jamison Tyone. It's that there's a decision that's been made, whether you want to say it was the Cubs with Tyone or Tyone on his own, where he was like, I could probably go out there and pitch again, but I want to be safe rather than sorry and give it the ample time it needs for this twitch or whatever you want to call it in his groin to go away.
You have twitch.
Listen to what he had to say with Zach Zabeman on the pregame show about how he's approaching this time on the 15-day IL.
He threw it about 12 or 14 pitches, and it went pretty well. But it's. I think we're in a position where we're going to be safe here, and if we could skip a start, we'd probably be in good shape. And expect this to be the minimum, but I think it's just smart to. He's got a little something going on, and we don't want to risk it.
Okay, so you said pretty well, but just felt a little something. Is that?
Yeah, I mean, there's a little something there that will I think will resolve itself within the next 5 to 7 days. But, you know, there's a start in 3 days, and if we have them go out there and pitch in that, under that condition, then I think we're putting Jamo at risk.
Okay, so obviously that's not Jamison Tyone. That's Craig Counsell describing Tyone's condition right now and the fact that they would rather be safe than sorry and putting him back out there 3 days from now and just say, let it heal, give you time. Maybe just, it could be as simple as skipping a start, and then he would make his next start in Iowa just to make sure everything's okay, so you're not putting the Cubs at risk of something going wrong, and then now he's on the mound for the Cubs when it goes wrong. Rather, that would happen with the Iowa Cubs. But we didn't have Jamison Tyone there. Here he is with Zach Zaman on how he's looking at this.
It's one of those things, like, I didn't feel it throwing today, but I had a big wrap on it. I did feel it doing some weight room stuff when I wasn't wrapped up. So I kind of just told Counts, like, I'm not comfortable screaming from the rooftops and pounding the table because, you know, if I go out there and I'm not myself and I screw us, or, you know, if I make this worse and I put our bullpen in a bad position, or if I go out there Saturday and I don't last and I put guys in a bad position out there, I'd feel like a horrible teammate. So we were kind of just reasonable talking through it. And it's just seems like the right idea to take the 2 weeks, make sure we get this thing right and fixed, pain-free, and come back really strong for a good push.
That is the measured approach of a veteran who understands the difference between the regular season and the postseason, understands his team is already headed towards the playoffs, and making sure he's not doing anything to put himself and therefore his team in jeopardy of not having his services.
What a concept! Is Kyle Tucker going through your mind too? I hadn't heard that cut. That's how you do it. Don't play this hero ball. Don't do this, I gotta play in 150 games during the season. Sit your ass out for a couple of weeks. Be real about it. This is not play time. This is get into the playoffs time. So I heard the whole time, yes, that I would love to hear more athletes be Jamison
so right now.
Tyone. No, I hadn't heard that. That blows me away. That should be kept and played in clubhouses, in locker rooms, in dressing rooms in the NHL at the beginning of every season. Here's Jamison Tyone at a symposium. Don't try to be a hero. You're not impressing the fans if you're playing hurt because you're hurting the team. So what a concept from Jamison Tyone. Thank you for playing that.
And I think his explanation is very different if we are in the playoffs right now. Like, I'm going to give it a go because I'm trying to figure out if I can help this team win a playoff game. But that's not where we are. Understand the difference between the regular season and the postseason, and how the way you prepare for the postseason is to be in the best health possible. It's different if you're fighting for the third wild card. If you're the Mets or the Reds right now, this is a different conversation.
You're pretty comfy if you're the Cubs right now, believe it or not.
The Cubs are 6.5 games back. They're, 3.5, 4.5 up in the wild card?
Yeah, we got to check that.
So,
yeah.
So it's a different level of what's needed from you right now if the goal is to make the best run in the postseason possible.
Yes.
And I love what Jamison Tyone did, and it makes you think, not only to Kyle Tucker, but just to anyone and everyone who's fighting through things. Because let's be honest, 100-plus games into a season, no one is completely healthy.
Yeah.
Everyone's a little banged up.
You think Say is banged up and should be following in Jamison Tyone's? I mean, there's been nobody has said anything about Saya being injured. Not that I've heard or seen, but you wonder.
I don't think Say is hurt. I just think Say is going through it.
Well, he at the beginning of this year, obviously when he was in the prime of his season, which has been a great season, think about it, is he was hitting everything hard. Even if he was making outs, the hard hit rate was off the charts. He's just not hitting the ball hard anywhere. You know what I mean? The outs aren't hard. Nothing is being hit hard at
this
point.
I think the tough thing is the message was at the beginning of the season from Saya when he started hitting bombs at a much more frequent rate was, hey guys, I'm not going to get on base as much as I was before. I'm not going to hit for as high at average, but I'm going to give you that bump and slug that you so desire. And so when you go from a guy who was slugging 547 in the first half in Seiya Suzuki, and in the second half is slugging 256, that means his slug has been divided by two and then some.
It's horrid.
In 36 games, He's got 5 extra base hits since the All-Star break. 3 doubles and 2 home runs. You can't have that from a guy you're going to put out there in the 3-hole every night.
Yeah. Let's get a cool down here. 312-644-6767. I need a cool down. Give me Tony. Give me Tony. He is on the score. Tony, what's going on, man?
How you doing? As far as bat swing goes, there's nobody more violent than Nico's follow through. I'm surprised a guy hasn't broken a vertebrae.
He does have it. You know, for a guy who doesn't hit, for a guy who doesn't hit a lot of home runs, man, he is intense up there. He swings hard. And he hits, and he can hit anything. The coverage that he has of the plate, especially like high fastball, to lead off the game last night. Did you see him leading off the game last night, Tony? High, it was high, and he just kind of whacked it into left field.
Kind of knuckled it into the outfield.
Yeah, I whacked it. I said whacked it, not knuckled it. He whacked it.
When I say knuckled it, I mean because he didn't have this swing that was like for the fences. Like, I'm going to hit it very hard, but it's not going to go nearly as far as a ball that you would think was hit as hard as this one would go.
Why can't you just accept my words?
I accept your words.
We had to listen to you talking slobbering yesterday during the show. We had to put up with that, and we accepted that, and now you won't take my whacking.
You're right. Yeah, you're right.
Whacking and slobbering.
Yeah, whacking and slobbering. That's a great combination you just brought up there, Mark. You proud of yourself? Are you proud of yourself?
I have put us in an uncomfortable position.
I'm not uncomfortable
here.
At all.
No, but no. That, and by the way, the Nico homer last night, like, it's too bad. Again, Cubs got blown out last night, 12-3, but they were in such good shape. Cubs second inning, 1-0 San Francisco. Runners on first and second, nobody out. Shaw and Castro both retired, so it's like, here we go again. I'm going to have to write down on my chart about another bad inning with runners on base. And there was plenty of that last night, but then he just whacks the ball into left field. But after, and I should have brought this part up first, the count is 2-1 on him, and then there's a mound visit on a 2-1 count, and which is very rare to do an in-count mound meeting. And then after that, he hits the home, like 2 pitches later, he could not have hit the ball harder than he did in that case. So it was, what a fail. That is the biggest fail of a mound visit in Major League Baseball this year, I've just decided.
What you need to understand is, that man hits .322 with runners in scoring position and 2 outs. He's
good call.
Built for this.
Yes.
He is that dude. And when you look at guys in Major League Baseball, there's Bo Bichette and then there's Nico Horner. Those are the top 2 hitters with runners in scoring position. Horner, .382. Bo Bichette's hitting .392 because the Blue Jays are really, really good. But Nico Horner's hitting .382, which is another reason why he needs more at-bats every game. He needs to be in the top third of the order.
Yeah. Yeah. No, hitting leadoff last night was Mr. Horner. When we return, we're going to flip it a little bit here. We're going to talk about the Bears.
And some concern.
A concern about a certain starting safety for the Chicago Bears. His name is Jaquan Brisker, and he had to leave practice yesterday. So we will play for you what we know about Jaquan Brisker, and we will talk about the Bears' talented starting safety when we return on the Rahimi and Harris Show with me, Mark Grody, on the score.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yeah, I'm continuing to play the same way. That was my first time really having a contact injury. You know, he hit his head on my neck, so it kind of just hit his helmet on the right spot, but really just moving on from that.
A lot of talk about you in terms of your long-term health, just because you've had multiple concussions and people wondering how durable you are and how long you could withstand this.
Mm-hmm.
That goes through your head too. Are you worried about yourself?
No, I'm not. I'm good. I'm past that point. I'm really moving on, so I'm just focused on playing ball. You know, I'm really clear, man, and, I'm really good, so.
Bears starting safety, Jaquan Brisker right there, who did walk off of the practice field yesterday with an apparent injury. Don't have further details. Nobody with the Bears has talked about it yet. There just hasn't been the opportunity to do so yet. As we welcome you back into the Rahimi and Harris Show on the Score, I am Mark Grody filling in for Layla Rahimi. And check this out, Marshall. Our buddy, new daddy, Gabe Ramirez. Gabe Ramirez and Judson Richards are going to be at Sluggers in Wrigleyville tomorrow, Friday, 2 to 6 p.m. Stop by, see Gabe and Judson talking Bears and Cubs. Plus, check out the indoor batting cages. I love the indoor batting cages at Sluggers. Only at Sluggers in Wrigleyville this Friday from 2 to 6 on The Score.
Gabe and Judson.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen that pairing, but I'm curious now.
No, they're both awesome. You know how much I love Gabe, and Judson sounds awesome doing all the stuff that he's done on The Score here, and I'm on Hit and Run doing Cubs pre and post. He works over down the block at his primary gig.
Not
at
down the block.
Well, it is kind of down the
down
block.
Down the hall.
Down the hallway. Yeah,
the block makes it sound like you got to exit the building, go out.
That's true.
You're not even leaving this floor. You're just going straight down.
Yes, Justin Richards' primary gig down the hall. At the Great News Radio 780 WBBM. But what went through your mind when you heard that Jaquan Brisker had to walk off the field yesterday during the practice?
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it's not that.
Yeah.
Those are the first things that went through my mind because...
Hope it's not a concussion is what Marshall is saying.
Yes, yeah. Because listen, he's 26 years old. He missed the last 12 games of last year with a concussion. He has a history of concussions. And yesterday was technically the last day of training camp. So he was that close to making it through camp without injury. And now we don't know if this is head related or not.
Right, but, could be nothing.
But you know how your mind works is the first thing you think of is the worst thing.
Yeah.
And it's also knowing that now we've got Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 4 days off for the Bears. And you start thinking about when the Bears come back, some of these players who have not been around lately, I hope that they're available. And now you add him to the pile, so to speak, with Jaquan Brisker being in the same category of guys like, obviously, Jalen Johnson. Obviously.
Kyler Gordon.
And that's just one unit right there. And then you look around and you're like, okay, well, what about Roschon Johnson? What about Kyle Manangai? Will the Bears add more running backs to the roster, practice squad? What are they done flipping guys around and trying to secure what their game one, week one roster looks like heading into that Monday night game against Minnesota? So it was not good thoughts in my head when that happened.
Two things. Remember last year, what we all thought we were sure about was the secondary. You know, the irony of us sitting here right now and lamenting what's going on with Jalen Johnson and Kyler Gordon and now possibly Jaquan Brisker. And we can't stress that enough. Not speculating here, but it goes, you're right. It goes through your mind. What went through my mind? This is kind of sick, actually, what went through my mind. I was like, I'd rather see him limping off the field. Like, in my mind, like, than him not limping off the
field.
Because that's when you start to think about the head injury, but it could be a shoulder, it could be a wrist, you know, all that stuff. I just wish I would have seen him favoring a body part that wasn't his head. And he was not favoring his head, but that's went through my mind. 847 texter says, it is truly painful to hear Brisker say he's not worried about future brain injuries. I'm conflicted on that because Brisker is a, what, 27-year-old man? 27-year-old man has been an athlete his whole life.
26, but you're close.
Fought his whole life to be in the NFL. It means so much to him for us to surround him and just say, you know, point the finger and saying, you shouldn't be out there playing football. What do you think you're doing out there, young man? And to some extent, yeah, like, it is scary. We're talking about it right now because it's scary. But it's his life, and he has decided to go forth that way. So in other words, how could I put this? I'm not mad at Jaquan Brisker
also,
for continuing to play tackle football.
When they talk about it like that, you shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be. We're all complicit. Let's be honest.
Yes.
We're all complicit.
It's a good
word.
We
all watch football. We all enjoy the sport. We make a living talking about the sport, reporting on the sport. So you can't sit here and be almost hypocritical because the guys who you're enjoying the fruits of their labor as your pastime, while they put their bodies, minds, and futures, honestly, on the line, you can't have that attitude. You have to just be like, you know what? They've decided to do this. I'm going to respect the decision that these young men make in their efforts to chase generational wealth. And when I say generational wealth, I mean that because it's life-changing, not just for them, but for their families, extended families, and future family members.
I mean, we all know players that now, like say Dan Hampton. When you see Dan Hampton He's walking around favoring every single body part. But Dan Hampton does not regret a second of playing in the NFL because of his passion and because of the fruits of his labor. What the NFL gave him, put in his pocketbook, what it's still putting in his wallet right now.
Can you favor every body part at that point? Is it
because
like if you're favoring one body part, that means like it's different from the other. But if you're favoring all the body parts, that every you're just kind of back to square one.
I have never said that I am not prone to hyperbole, Marshall. Okay. I can be a little bit heavy on the hyperbole.
I love hyperbole. It's no onomatopoeia, but I do love hyperbole.
I do love onomatopoeia, like words that sound like things.
That's like pow. Is. Like if you ever watch an old Batman episode.
That's onomatopoeia.
Yeah. Onomatopoeia.
What's the
I like alliteration.
When you go out for sushi, what's the little green peas that you get?
Edamame?
Oh, that's not, I thought that was onomatopoeia. That's edamame. Spelled backwards.
What?
Onomatopoeia. Edamame. You guys don't know what edamame is?
I do, but you thought it was onomatopoeia?
Yeah, I thought that was onomatopoeia.
You. I liked it.
Can I get a side?
Yeah, I love edamame.
I was just playing. Yeah. Edamame is great.
Oh, that was a joke.
Yeah.
Yes, it was definitely a joke.
I actually
edamame.
Thought
you fell flat
can I get
with
a
some of our listeners.
Onomatopoeia?
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah. Hey, Farragut, write that down for Robbie during the break. I need you to explain that to him. Thank you very much.
Writing it down.
Yeah, that's
not
that's
now, but I will.
Don't you dare talk in the third person.
I had one thing. And he took it from me, my bit.
Where's Ray Diaz? We have lost order of the show. When we return, I am looking so forward to...
He's your guy.
I love Allen Robinson. Everybody loves Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson, the former Chicago Bears wide receiver. We'll find out what's going on in his life. Is he going to play anymore? But we'll talk Bears with him. You know, I'll probably have something nostalgic to ask him about the 2018 Bears and the just the overall goodness of that year. But A-Rob, Allen Robinson, is coming up next on the Raheem and Harris Show with me, Mark Grody, on The Score.